What's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host? For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. Tis the season to be jolly, and that often includes imbibing some kind of spirits. I got into recovery 27 years ago because I didn't like me and what I did when I drank. Now that I recognize I'm in charge of my life, I make good choices and believe I have multiple options that are possible for me. When I chose to drink, I believe the only path open for me was downhill. Now, I live on a different plane. My life is more on a spiritual dimension. You regular listeners know that my show is based on a spiritual tool called the Prayer Wheel. You can view it in my resource library on my website at www.thedrmelanieshow.com. Today we're talking about an alternative to Alcoholics Anonymous. It's called HAMS, H-A-M-S, which means a Harm Reduction Guide to Alcohol. This program may be just what you've been looking for. If you listen and you know someone who could benefit from this, please share this broadcast with them. This episode is pre-recorded because I will be at the cancer center getting some answers about my diagnosis. So you won't hear me doing the rejoiners after each break. Our first guest is nicknamed Uncle Chuck D, who will tell us how HAMS has worked for him. After his interview, we'll go directly to a break. Then we'll hear from the founder of HAMS and author of the book, How to Change Your Drinking, Ken Anderson. We'll finish our interview with him after the second break. Then after the third break, we'll hear from Red Girl, a woman who has used HAMS successfully in her life. Then at the end, I'll wrap it all up. Thanks for listening today. Now let's hear what Uncle Chuck has to say.
I have the unique privilege today of talking to someone who goes by the handle Uncle Chuck D, who has been involved in a process, I guess would be a nice way to put it, called HAMS. And he's going to maybe tell us a little bit about what that is. But I'm just very grateful that you're willing to come on and talk about this. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what is HAMS? Because the world may not know.
Well, HAMS is an acronym.
Yes.
That stands for Harm Reduction, Abstinence, Moderation, and Support.
Okay.
And the thinking is that anyone who has a issue with alcohol abuse, alcohol dependence, alcohol, basically troubles with their drinking, can choose one of several ways to address it.
Oh.
And this organization, whether it be quitting altogether,
mm-hmm.
whether it be trying to develop a program of moderating one's drinking,
mm-hmm.
whether to simply try to drink in such a way that is causing the least amount of harm to themselves or to others. I mean, a simple example of which is simply not drinking and driving, which of course is important to everybody.
Yes.
One of the things in the literature is that it meets the patient where they are at. So this organization, as far as I know, well, actually, I've known it since its inception. I met Ken in, I believe, 2006, and if I'm not mistaken, he actually began it in 2007 or 2008.
Oh, I didn't know it was that recent. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Okay. I've read the book, by the way, How to Change Your Drinking. I read the whole book.
What did you think of it?
Well, I had an open mind. So when I read it, I thought, you know what? This could meet the needs of some of the people that just feel like they don't fit anywhere else. So, yeah. I told Ken, I said, I want to talk to somebody who has been successful, you know, by your own definition, successful with this program. I want to hear how it works. So I'm glad you stepped up to the plate and were willing to come forth and tell us about it.
The book, as you know, and I've actually read quite a bit of literature on addiction, on alcoholism, or what is defined as alcoholism or misdefined as alcoholism. And of a lot of the books that I've read, this is one of, if not the best, and part of it is because it is so comprehensive
mm-hmm.
about what alcohol is, what alcohol does, the various ways in which one can approach trying to improve one's drinking behavior. And there's actually one section of it, part three, everything you always wanted to know about alcohol, but you got told to go to AA and not to ask.
Oh.
Which I mean, it's very interesting. I've gone to a bunch of different meetings and a bunch of different programs, whatever I could find myself available, mm-hmm. would avail myself to me. And I live in New York City, so there's a little bit more available to me than there is in a lot of other places. But I did find myself in parts of a couple of AA meetings at one time, and what really struck me was the willful ignorance that goes on in an AA environment. And I found that really, really wasn't for me. Reminds me of a line in a movie that I'm very fond of. In the movie Bull Durham, the protagonist, Crash Davis, says to the young pitcher, "Don't think, it'll only hurt the ball club." Well, that only going to hurt. That's only going to help Nuke LaLoosh, because Nuke LaLoosh doesn't have much of a mind to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things one really has to do is think about what they're doing and how they want to change their behaviors and become their own best advocate. And in being my own best advocate, it's how I've gone and researched and searched for whatever alternatives I could find or whatever methodologies I could find to help myself.
Mm-hmm. And there's different components to the program. It's not every person does the same exact thing, correct?
That's correct. I could be abstinent, which at the moment I am. The next person could be trying to follow a program where he drinks maybe a couple of days a week. Another person may try a program where they drink, well, like a day a month. Any particular individual has his own guidelines to how he wants to improve his drinking behavior, and all of it is valid.
Uh-huh.
One of the little taglines of HAMS is better is better.
Mm-hmm.
As long as there is an improvement, as long as there is a measurable and achievable and recognizable improvement, there's something to be celebrated.
Mm-hmm. And the person has to take ownership. They can't blame, you know, genetics or it's my family. They have to take ownership, correct?
Well, of course.
Okay. Let's talk about your own process. I mean, where you are now, how long did it take you to reach the decision where you are now? I mean, was it, you know, you made it in the beginning and that's it and you were done, or was it a process?
It's been a process, I guess. At some point in my adult life, I kind of figured out that there was something that wasn't quite right. And, I mean, frankly, it took a very long time for me to really figure out that what was really going on was that it's not a disease to me. It's certainly, there's a behavioral aspect of it. And if not a genetic, at least a environmental aspect to it. And what I really came to realize, with the help of one very good therapist and a whole lot of really bad ones,
uh-huh.
was that what I have is a tremendous amount of anxiety. And so once I got a bit of a handle on that, or at least an understanding of that, I have begun to address the anxiety, and in doing so, learned how not to medicate it with alcohol, which really ended up being what the issue was.
Uh-huh.
One size obviously does not fit all, but in some of the chats that I have had with other people who have come to the HAMS room, I'm finding that there are a lot of people who fit that description.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I've never felt that alcohol abuse is something that occurs in a vacuum, and it's not necessarily a disease in and of itself. It's just, it ends up being the manifestation of a lot of other possible things.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. As a therapist for the last 30-plus years, I've encountered many, many people, and I never sent anybody to AA. I always gave them options. You want to try. I didn't know there was this HAMS method, but I would say, do you want to see what you can do?
Yeah. Are you familiar with Smart Recovery and Moderation Management and SOS and Women for Sobriety?
Women for Sobriety, yes, but the others,
okay,
no.
I mean, there are other ones. They're just very hard to find.
Yes.
And it's sort of unfortunate, and it's also, if you ask my opinion, it's a function of the irresponsibility and laziness of the media, that some other programs that exist that could help people just aren't given their due.
Mm-hmm.
because of this big monster that's called AA.
Yeah. Well, I'm not here to downgrade them. I'm here to offer something that can work because, I've been in recovery myself for 27 years using a program that, for me, it worked. And it doesn't need to know what it was. It helped. So, end of statement. In a nutshell, can you give hope or a tidbit to people out there that this might work for them?
Well, of course it would work for them. The one thing that I think is central to anybody's attempts at improving their behaviors and improving their conditions when they are faced with problems with misuse or abuse of any chemicals is motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Anything is going to work for you. Just about anything should work for you if you're sufficiently motivated. If you're not sufficiently motivated, ain't nothing going to work for you.
Yes.
You can go to every little thing. I mean, it reminds you of the stupid joke, how many shrinks does it take to change a light bulb? Well, just one, but the bulb has to want to change.
Exactly, yeah.
Personally, for me, and I've met some other people who have been struggling through trying to recover, and to a lot of people, and I'm sorry to say this, to a lot of people, I would say if they've been struggling and they've been going to AA and it's not working for them, the one thing I would say is run. Run very fast the other direction and do not even look back, because it's not helping you and it's just turning out to hurt you. There's a lot of stuff out there. You just got to go look for it. And it's just a function of the laziness of the media as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
And if you have to look for it, then go look for it.
Okay. All right. Well, unfortunately, our time frame for this part of the interview has run out. So,
okay.
Well, thank you very, very much.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
The incidence of autism has increased at an alarming rate. Approximately 1 in 150 children are affected by autism, giving autism the undesired ranking as the most prevalent childhood developmental disorder in the U.S. 67 children will be diagnosed today. That is nearly one child every 20 minutes. Autism One, a conversation of hope, hosted by Terry Aranga, illuminates how right now there is more reason than ever for individuals with autism spectrum disorders and their families to have the best hope for the brightest future. Autism is treatable, and given appropriate therapies, children are recovering. With well-known researchers and doctors, members of Congress, and expert service providers from a wide range of disciplines, Terry offers interviews and insights highlighting the progress in areas related to autism spectrum disorders such as biomedical research and treatment, communication, education, and behavioral modalities, sociological and philosophical issues, and legislative advocacy and insurance concerns. Autism One, a conversation of hope, broadcasts each Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Health and Wellness channel. Autism One, a conversation of hope. Through education and conversation, there is hope.
Discover valuable solutions to your most important health challenges. Get started each week by tuning in to True Health Now Radio with Dr. John Hernandez. There are many root causes to ailments, from common ones to the most serious. You'll learn more about your body, nutrition, supplements, and prescription drugs, as well as natural alternatives for enriching your health and transforming your life. The result for you is a longer and stronger life. True Health Now Radio with Dr. John Hernandez can be heard every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome, listeners. Today, I have the privilege of interviewing Ken Anderson, who has written the book, How to Change Your Drinking, A Harm Reduction Guide to Alcohol. So welcome, Ken, and thank you so much for being on my show today.
Thank you for having me here, Melanie.
It's my pleasure. It's something I've read your book. I have an open mind, and I want the world to hear what you have to say.
Thank you.
I would like you to explain to our listening audience just what is HAMS.
Well, HAMS is the world's first free-of-charge lay-led support group for harm reduction for alcohol. The letters HAMS, it's an acronym. The H stands for harm reduction. The A is for abstinence from alcohol. The M is for moderate drinking, and the S is for support. So we are a support group which encourages every positive change in your drinking habits, from safer drinking to reduced drinking to quitting altogether. In our program, we encourage our members to choose our own goals. We encourage every positive change. So, for example, if someone decided, well, I want to stop drinking and driving. I think it's a bad idea. I don't want to change the amount I drink right now. I like to get intoxicated. That's not on my agenda, but I want to change drinking and driving because it's a really bad idea. And they can come to our program, and we will say, yes, we totally support you in this goal. This is a really good idea, and we're not going to try and force people to make other changes that they're not choosing for themselves. And we're like the only place that you can go and get that kind of support for that kind of decision, because we will support each change when the individual is ready to make it. And often when people start making one change, then they decide to make other changes as well, you know, because they might decide, you know, 6 months, a year later, well, my drinking really is pretty heavy. I do drink a lot, and I want to cut back now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at that point, when they decide for themselves that they want to make a cut back in their drinking, we will be supporting them in cutting back, too. But there's no pressure.
No guilt.
Us. No guilt. No guilt and no pressure, and we don't say, you ought to do this. You need to do this. We supply information about, you know, how much risk and harm is associated with each level of drinking. Very high levels of drinking are risky. Lower levels are less risky. And, you know, we also supply information about how to reduce or eliminate risks associated with some of these higher risk levels of drinking.
Okay. So information, support, but no guilt.
No guilt.
Good. Good. I like that. So can you explain what the different components are, you know, the different options? Can you tell more about, you know, each of those options?
Well, our program has 17 elements, and we call them elements and not steps.
Okay.
Because they can be done in any order, and they are all optional. You don't have to do any of them.
Okay.
But you can look through the list of the 17 elements, find one that appeals to you, and start there. They're kind of listed in a default order where if you don't know where to start, if you can't decide, you can start with number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number one is to do a cost-benefit analysis. It's also sometimes called a decisional balance sheet. This is an evidence-based technique where people write down the pros and cons of their current drinking pattern, and then the pros and the cons of the change that they want to make.
Uh-huh.
And this is very important. You know, some people have thought, well, you should only write about the bad things about drinking if you want to quit. And if you do that, then all the good things stay in your subconscious, and they pop out when you're not expecting them. And that's when people have a relapse, when they're trying to quit drinking, because they're just, you know, repressing the fact that, you know, there are good things about alcohol. People use alcohol or drugs for a reason.
Correct.
Because there are benefits. And the other thing is, when you're aware of the benefits, you've written them out, you might say, well, alcohol helps me relax. Then you can say, oh, relaxing is an important thing. Now, what other things can I do to relax? Can I do yoga, exercise, read a book? And then you have strategies prepared ahead of time. And next time you need to relax, you say, oh, well, I don't have to go get the alcohol. I can do my yoga instead or whatever.
So there's choices.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And so people are prepared. And they're not just repressing the good things in their subconscious so that they'll pop out when least expected and cause trouble.
And it's okay to admit, you know, I miss the pleasurable feeling that I had when I was getting drunk.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, being aware is the best thing. And you have to be aware of both sides of the issue and be aware of, you know, there are bad things too. This is a little jumping off topic right now, but when you're trying to encourage someone else to change their drinking, we recommend a motivational interviewing type of approach. And one of the best ways to start with someone is to say, what are the things you like about drinking alcohol? And people list some positives. And then you say, well, is there anything you don't like about alcohol? And at that point, people are ready to say, well, I got a DUI last month. It's going to cost me a fortune. It was really bad. And then you say, well, in the future, what do you think you can do to avoid this? And they start saying, well, I want to make this change. I want to make that change. And when people, you know, bring up the changes they want to make themselves, then they are very motivated to make the changes. Whereas, you know, if you do the opposite and say, you ought to change your drinking because X, Y, Z, immediately they start thinking of a counter argument. No, I shouldn't change because of A, B, C.
They become defensive,
So confrontation is not the way to approach people. The way to approach them is to let them talk about both the pros and the cons and let them come up with their own reasons for wanting to change.
Okay. That sounds rational to me. And if somebody, you know, decides what they want to do and they're not able to carry through on it, they don't get verbally beaten up about it or, you know, oh, you're a loser. You just say, okay, what now? What do you want to do next?
Well, absolutely. One of the first things we have to always be reminding people of is the positive changes that they did make. Because people, you know, they might say, well, I made a plan to abstain from alcohol 3 days out of every week, and last week I only abstained 1 day. And we got to say, well, yeah, but before you were drinking every single day. 1 day, you made a success. So you do have a success behind you, and, you know, you didn't keep your plan perfectly. Well, you can try again next time. Don't beat yourself up too much, because the more you beat yourself up, the more you're miserable, the more you're miserable, the more you want to drink.
Correct. Yes.
So remember your successes, build on your successes, don't beat yourself up too much out of the past, just start over again.
So do you encourage the person to actually write down the things that they want to accomplish or keep a journal or anything?
Yeah, lots of people like to make a written plan. That is one of the 17 optional elements. That's one of your options, is to write out your drinking plan. And a lot of people want to do that. I periodically post mine on our email group, that's a good place where people can post their plans.
Okay.
And it helps them be accountable. They made them public.
Okay.
And everybody knows they won't be beaten up if they're not perfect. This is what you're trying to get to. So, you know, if you take any steps towards getting there, that's a good thing. And we hope people will get there eventually, but, you know, if they don't make it perfectly the first try, just keep going. My plan is to abstain at least 5 days a week from alcohol, and sometimes 6 days, not to drink more than 1 to 2 days out of the week. I like to get intoxicated when I drink, so I drink safely at home. Don't leave the house. I buy what I'm going to drink. I'll buy a fifth of whiskey, put on my Netflix movies, drink, go to sleep, get up the next day, and, you know, I've been doing this pattern of abstaining 6 or 5 days out of the week for the past 9 years now.
Uh-huh. So it works.
So yeah, it's very stable for me. Mm-hmm. And this is a good plan for me individually. Other people have different plans. And some people in our program decide to go on to quit completely. They do abstain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's abstinence is our middle name.
Okay, yes.
It's harm reduction, abstinence, and moderation support.
Mm-hmm.
So many people find abstinence to be their best goal. Myself, for television viewing, I decided that abstinence was my best goal. I don't have a television in my house. I just get too distracted. I can't turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
I get too sucked into it. For me, television abstinence works best. Also, cigarette smoking. I haven't had a cigarette in 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I like maybe a cigar once a week, but I don't have any other form of nicotine, and that's relatively safe. You don't need to inhale a cigar,
mm-hmm.
and it's relatively safe for your health to engage in moderate cigar smoking.
Okay. So this website that you talked about, not anybody can go to it. You kind of have to be in working the process in order to go to it?
Well, our website is hamsnetwork.org.
Okay.
All the information on the website is available to everyone.
Okay.
So the information is free, and if anyone wants to reproduce the information, use it in their professional program or anywhere, as long as you include the copyright notice, you can reproduce the information all you want. The support group is an email group. We do require approval. It's kind of anyone that applies gets approved automatically, but it keeps out the spammers.
Yes.
And the archive of the group is private, so it's not searchable by Google.
Good.
What you write is protected.
Yeah, because I don't want some employer getting information about somebody and going, oh, I didn't know that about you. So, yeah, not a good idea. All right, it's time for us to take a break, and when we come back, we will learn some more. How about that?
Okay.
All right.
Your life, your health, your network. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Mark your calendar and set an alarm so you do not miss the highly acclaimed talk show, Holistic Living with Tina Marie and Todd Allen. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific for inspirational, oftentimes edgy discussions on all that life brings our way. With celebrity guests, world-famous authors, and everyday people dedicated to sharing positive, uplifting messages, Tina Marie and Todd Allen bring you the very best in talk radio discussions, guaranteed to make you smile.
Are you exploring the changes in your life? We are continually evolving our lives into wellness, tranquility, and personal power. When you open your mind and heart to your spiritual strength and power within, you create the most wonderful and meaningful life. Unlock the infinite power of your mind and your creative being. Tune in to This Amazing Life with Dr. Phil Nernberger, live every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel, and explore the strength and wisdom that comes from within. In your family, what is most important to you? Is it health? Relationships? How about getting along better with your kids or your parents? Maybe it has to do with losing pounds or gaining financially. Whatever the problems you face in your family, you'll want to tune in to Family First with your host, author, and speaker, Randy Rolfe. Since 1985, Randy has become the foremost expert on matters concerning the family, and she can help you. Family First airs live every Friday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
We are back here with Ken Anderson, and we are talking about hams, and we were discussing before the break the list of 17 different elements of things that you can do in the process of working on this. And we talked about some of them, but can you mention some more of the 17 things? And these things are found on page 11 in his book.
Yeah, very quickly, I'm going to look at a few of these. One that people find very useful is drink charting. And you can use a calendar, or we have a drink chart in the book that you can Xerox off, or you can go to our website online and print it out. And this is just tracking the number of drinks that you have each day. And it's important to learn how to measure standard drinks. We have that information in the book on online of what a standard drink is. It's a 12-ounce beer at 5%, 5 ounces of wine at 12%, or a 1.5-ounce shot of 80-proof whiskey is a standard drink. And people find that when they start charting their drinks, it helps them cut down, even if they're not trying to cut down. The very act of being consciously aware of every drink that you take, it makes you slow down.
Mm-hmm.
You can also use the drink charts from the book to make a plan. You can write down how many you plan for each day of the week and then see what your actual counts are and if they correspond to the plan. You can write down extraneous things like, were you safe? Did you engage in safe drinking? What was your mood? How much money did you spend? Depending on what your concerns were. But charting is a really excellent tool that people find very useful. One of the other things I want to mention briefly is damage control.
Okay.
This is something Dr. Alan Marlatt calls relapse prevention.
Mm-hmm.
He was writing more from an abstinence approach when he wrote his book, Relapse Prevention. But it's a very important thing, and we talked a little bit earlier about people beating themselves up if they don't stick to their plan. If you decide to quit drinking and then you slip and have a drink, and then you say, oh no, I'm such a terrible person, and you start beating yourself up, you get miserable, you say, oh, I'm so miserable, what can I do? Well, I better drink some more to drown my sorrows now.
Yes.
And it turns the slip, the small lapse, into a major relapse, into a big bender. And that's the wrong way to approach it. You say, yeah, I wasn't perfect, but I'll forgive myself, I move on, because we know that when people make a change, it's normal to have a few slips before people manage to quit.
That's right.
Completely.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Prochaska, when he was studying smoking, he found that 19 out of 20 people had relapses when they quit smoking. Only one person in 20 quit the first try and continued and stayed quit for good.
Uh-huh.
Other people, I think the average was 4 or 5 quit attempts.
Oh yes.
To get to success at quitting smoking. But you get to success. So the important thing is not to beat yourself up or be angry, but to keep trying again.
Mm-hmm.
And this is true whether your goal is to quit alcohol, to be a safer drinker, or to reduce your drinking. You keep trying until you attain your goal, and don't beat yourself up, and realize that change is hard.
Okay. So when people are doing these plans, and it talks about support, how do they get the support? Is there an actual online chat room or a mentor? Or how does that work? How do you get the support?
We have a live group in Brooklyn, New York. So there's one live group currently in operation. There might be a couple more starting up. I've had people approach me recently about starting groups. Then we have the online support, which is what most people do. And there is an email group, and you can access that anytime because it's email. There's a real-time chat that is at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 6 p.m. Pacific Time. And it lasts for 1 hour. We do that every day of the week. So you can always pop in to the chat room at that time. And we get people from all over the world, even Australia, coming into our chats.
And do people have kind of a handle, a name, or do they give the real name, or how does that, you know, for anonymity's sake, how is that handled?
People can use any name they want.
Okay.
Most people use a handle. Some people choose to use their real name. Once again, with the email group, too, you can sign on with an anonymous email address if you want to make a free Yahoo account or a Gmail account with a fake name.
Okay.
You know, you can use that to protect your anonymity. And as I said, the archives of the group are closed because sometimes even when people are making a fake name, they don't want their details of their life to be available to the world.
True. So, yes. You don't want it to show up on a billboard somewhere. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, can we talk about how this all got started for you?
Yes. I was working for a group called Moderation Management, which is a program that's aimed primarily at early stage problem drinkers who want to reduce and stay within the government defined moderate drinking limits, which is for men no more than 4 standard drinks in a day, no more than 14 in a week, for women no more than 3 in a day, no more than 9 in a week.
Okay.
And that approach works quite well for many people, but I also found that there were many people that, you know, didn't fit that model. They were much heavier drinkers. They didn't want to reduce to those limits, but they wanted to make positive changes. And, you know, I myself was in that category of wanting to make those kinds of, I wanted to make positive changes, but I wasn't really interested in those strict moderation limits. So I heard about harm reduction. One of my colleagues in the program actually mentioned the term to me and said, well, what you're doing is harm reduction. And I said, well, that's, I didn't know about that. What is that? And I started looking around and investigating, and I found out about the needle exchange programs, the harm reduction for drug programs. I saw there was nothing really specifically aimed at alcohol in the United States from a harm reduction perspective. And I said, well, I want to learn more about this because I want to make an alcohol harm reduction program. So I was living in Minneapolis at the time. I started volunteering at Access Works, which was the Minneapolis Needle Exchange. I volunteered on and off there for about a year. It was one of the greatest experiences of my life. And I became very close to lots of people in the needle exchange programs and the harm reduction programs in the United States. And I want to mention, because this is going out on December 1st, December 1st is World AIDS Day, and harm reduction programs have had great success in combating AIDS, but the United States is still lagging far behind Australia or Western Europe. In Australia and Western Europe, needle exchange programs are federally funded. Opiate substitution therapies like methadone and buprenorphine are readily available everywhere to everyone. And these harm reduction programs are actually an excellent gateway to get people involved with treatment. When people start going to get clean needles, many of them say, well, you know, I want to make further changes. You know, shooting heroin is not a good thing for me anymore. I want to stop this. I want to get involved with a substitution therapy treatment, or maybe I want to get involved with an abstinence treatment. It brings people in and gets them involved with treatment. And since it's very non-confrontational and non-judgmental, people are really coming forth from themselves. As we talked about this before, when you tell people you ought to do something, the first thing they do is come up with reasons to fight back of why they shouldn't do it.
Sure, yes. So is this going to be your next project to try to get this sort of thing, the harm reduction for needle exchange kinds of things in this country?
There are many people working on that. The Harm Reduction Coalition, which is headed up by Alan Clear, is working on that all the time. He's a good colleague and a good friend of mine, and we are totally supportive of their work, but you know, that's their specialization. Our specialization is alcohol. I wanted to mention we're lagging behind Western Europe and Australia in fighting AIDS, but we are still far ahead of Russia or some of the other countries, some countries in Asia. In Russia, for example, needle exchange is almost unavailable. It's extremely hard to find clean needles. And the opiate substitution therapies like methadone and buprenorphine are illegal. So they're having a tremendous AIDS crisis in Russia. In the United States, although the federal funding ban on needle exchange was lifted in 2009, there has not come down one federal dollar yet to pay for needle exchange. So it is still volunteer. It is still funded by private donors. So we are lagging far behind where we could be with this in the United States.
Well, that's another issue to be worked on. So tell the listening audience what kind of person might be well suited for HAMS.
Anyone that wants to make a change in their drinking habit is welcome, and they will find a comfortable place to come here. And, you know, so it's, we don't, you know, pick and choose, but people who don't feel comfortable with the standard approaches, people who are not seeking abstinence, people who don't want a spiritual based 12-step program, you know, they can come to us.
Okay.
And,
and how do they find you? What's your website? How do they reach you?
Our website is hamsnetwork.org.
Hamsnetwork.org. Okay. And is there a phone number or just they go through the website?
It's best to go through the website, and you can email me. My email address is on the website.
Okay.
My phone number is there too, but I like emails better.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm very glad. And unfortunately, our time has come to a close. It's hard to get everything in a short period of time. So would you be willing to come back at another point in time to talk more about this?
Absolutely.
Okay. This is really good to do this during the Christmas season time. So I would like to have you come back at another time and talk more about it.
Okay. I'll be glad to do that. And thank you for having me.
Well, thank you very much.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Explore the power of natural healing with Howard Strauss. Join us each week for an informative program that'll help you learn effective healing methods using natural remedies. Howard's guests include top researchers, authors, and experts who will share their views on a variety of natural products and healing methods that really work. Tune in to The Power of Natural Healing with Howard Strauss, Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. If you are constantly tired of being sick and tired, you need to tune in to Secrets for Vitality with Dr. Brian Turner. Dr. Turner has spent years networking and learning the secrets to a vital life. These are secrets your own doctor won't tell you. Why? It's likely that your doctor doesn't even know these secrets. These are not just new secrets that are being discovered. These could be ancient healing secrets that, although tried and true, haven't been applied properly. Listen for Secrets for Vitality every Friday at 12 noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Today, I have the privilege of interviewing a person that has used this HAMS process. She goes by the handle Red Girl. Welcome, Red Girl.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you, Melanie.
Well, I'm glad that you agreed to do this because I think that this is going to be something that many people, especially this time of year, need to hear about. So can you share with our listening audience how you became interested in HAMS?
I initially found HAMS because I have a brother who has a problem and was in actually legal trouble and has never done well with AA. So I was researching alternatives.
Uh-huh.
And I actually found HAMS through Stanton Peel's website and became very interested. And in the course of reading that, realized that there was a lot that actually would apply to me as well.
Ah, okay.
I had been exposed to AA from the time I was a child. I think I was 6 years old when My father went through treatment and was shoved into AA, and I used to spy on the living room groups that he hosted and never showed up for.
Ah, okay.
And so I, my mother was an Al-Anon, and that was a very black and white thing. You either were an alcoholic, and then your only option was AA, or you weren't, and then there was no problem. And what I realized was that I had never been willing to accept, you know, a diagnosis of alcoholic, but that I was very much using alcohol to control my feelings, or I had gotten into a habit of using it as a way of moderating my existence, and that that wasn't really very healthy for me.
Okay.
So Hams gave me the space to consider my own drinking patterns and whether or not that was really supporting the lifestyle that I wanted to live.
How did you come? It does. How did you come to the awareness that you were using alcohol to moderate your feelings? Did you have an aha moment, or did you go through something that opened this up to you? How did that happen?
Well, I drank daily. And I wasn't, for the most part, for many years, you know, that was just the evening cocktails. It was part of the lifestyle. I traveled for many years for work, and that was the habit of people to, after work, you know, the crew would go out and hit the bar and have a few drinks, and that was the lifestyle. And it had become a habit for me, daily drinking. And I went through a phase where I was out of work. Work had slowed down, and my drinking increased pretty dramatically. I was unhappy. I was worried about the future. And, you know, the underlying unconscious mindset is, oh, well, you know, alcohol makes me feel better.
Yes.
And so my drinking had increased quite a bit, and I didn't have any consequences like missing work or because I wasn't working. And at that point I said, you know, I think it's time for me to try some different options. And what I found most beneficial in Hams by far was the cost-benefit analysis.
Okay.
Taking a very logical, practical approach and sitting down and saying, okay, what are the benefits of drinking? Because obviously there's a reason I'm doing this. There's something I want to get out of it. There's something I believe I'm getting out of it, or I wouldn't be doing it. Right?
That's right. That's right.
And so, okay, acknowledge that. You know, yeah, it makes me feel relaxed. You know, it gives me a little break, blah, blah, blah. There are benefits. But what are the costs? And the costs are I don't feel so alert the next day, or maybe I've got a headache, maybe I'm hungover, and so on. I did the cost-benefit several times, cost-benefit analysis. And interestingly enough, that changed as I got away from those patterns of daily drinking and discovered that, you know, yes, I enjoy alcohol, but I enjoy it much more when it is occasional instead of daily.
So that you could actually enjoy the drinking rather than trying to use it to cover up something.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. So instead of that being just a habit, you know, oh, I'm tired, reach for a drink. Oh, you know, I'm angry, reach for a drink. You know, slow down. Stop, as you said earlier. Be in the moment. Be aware of how I feel. And have a drink as an enhancement to an experience, a small enhancement of enjoyment, instead of a habitual go-to.
And when you first made that decision and did it, were you able to do that, or is it a process?
It was a process for me. I followed, I worked with Hams and followed some of the tools, used some of the tools in the toolkit. I did counting. It's very important.
You mean counting your drinks, right?
Yes, to be aware of what I was consuming. I made a plan where I planned initially to reduce what I was drinking on a daily basis and not try to actually just quit.
Okay.
And then I went through the beer taper, which is described in the Hams book, which is precaution against any kind of withdrawals, which I do not know if I would have had or not, but it certainly made me feel better. Mm-hmm. And when I got to the point where I was down to two light beers a night, I said, well, I'm just going to try not drinking for a while. Mm-hmm. And see how I liked that. And surprise, surprise, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed having access to my brain.
Yes. But it was a conscious decision for you. It wasn't a reaction. It wasn't a cover-up. It was, I'm going to do this because I choose to do this, rather than it's a habit, it's a behavior, it's genetic, I don't have any choice. You have choices.
Right. Choice is critical. Choice was absolutely critical. And I think that that is the thing that I object to most about the AA approach, is the idea that you're helpless, you're powerless, this thing is bigger than you, that AA tells you what you are instead of encouraging you to be responsible for yourself and make your own choices.
Uh-huh. Okay. So what option have you chosen at this point in your life?
I have chosen moderation.
Okay.
As I said, I do enjoy a drink or two now and then.
Uh-huh.
For example, we had Thanksgiving dinner yesterday, and I had two glasses of wine with my dinner and enjoyed them very much.
Mm-hmm. Because you were consciously choosing to do this and enjoying the feeling and making the choice to not go beyond the two.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are there ever times when you make that choice and you blow it and you drank more than you intended to, or circumstances affected the situation and you got off your goal?
I have on occasion done that, but never a serious blowout, not in over a year. I have occasionally very consciously said, okay, I was going to limit myself to two, but now I think I want four.
Uh-huh.
I have not in any time in the last year gotten schnockered,
okay,
or, you know, not remembered what I was doing. That's a thing of the past for me now.
Great. That's wonderful. And for people that are listening to this, this is brand new for them, and they're thinking, well, how do I know if this would work for me? What would you tell them?
Well, I think I would say that if anyone who's willing to be self-aware,
mm-hmm,
and practice their plan, that it would certainly help.
Okay.
You know, as Ham says, better is better.
Right.
And anything you can do to help yourself, to reduce your harm, to increase your awareness and empower yourself to make choices that support your health and the lifestyle you want to live, is better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In the about a minute that we have left, what can you offer to people who might want to look at this program? Where do you recommend they go? What do you recommend they do?
I think the website, the HAMS website, is full of resources and tools.
Okay.
I also found the book very useful. I do have a copy of the book. It's nice to be able to just page through and highlight and underline things, but the resources are all there on the website and available for free.
Okay.
And again, I cannot recommend the cost-benefit analysis enough. I think that was the most valuable tool in the kit for me.
Okay. And what was the website? Do you know?
I just Google HAMS harm reduction, and
okay,
it pops right up.
Okay. And the title of the book is How to Change Your Drinking.
Yes.
Okay. By Kenneth Anderson. So.
Mm-hmm.
This has been most helpful, Red Girl, and I truly appreciate you doing this interview and the hope that you're giving people. So thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you. I really appreciate appreciate you having me on.
All right.
And thank you for doing the show that you do.
Well, thank you.
It's time to wrap up today's show. Thanks for listening to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel. Have you or someone you have known tried unsuccessfully to control drinking alcohol? Did you go to Alcoholics Anonymous, Rational Recovery, or Celebrate Recovery and it didn't work for you? Maybe HAMS could help you. You could buy the book, How to Change Your Drinking, or you can go to their website and check it out. www.hamsnetwork.org. Do you have some product you'd like me to endorse? Do you want to be a guest on my show? Do you have comments or suggestions for topics? Then you can contact me at www.thedrmelanieshow.com. I'll answer your questions to the best of my ability. I'll do so either by my email or on Twitter. My email is drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Be sure to tune in on December the 8th. Lee Nyberg, formerly of the National Institute of Health, will talk about why it's important to have the governmental funding for research. We'll also hear from someone about how to become part of a research project. Remember to help yourself help someone else. Until next week, goodbye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us this week for the Dr. Melanie Show. Please join your host, Dr. Melanie Barton, again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We'll see you next week for another great program.